Hey guys, Justin Huddleston here, making a first ever podcast. We're simply doing this because myself, and I'm sure you guys, do not like to see everybody rant on Twitter. Your whole timeline's filled with just a bunch of trash that you're reading on Twitter, and most of it's just rambling on. Some of it doesn't even make sense. And most of that you're seeing on your timeline may be me. So, you know, I'm making this podcast just simply so we can get on here, maybe bring some friends on, simply talk some sports, you know, just other things going around in the world if we so choose, depending on how far this podcast goes down the road. But like I said, we're just simply making a podcast because I think it's easier to use a platform like this to talk about sports and other things than it is to just sit there on Twitter or on Facebook and just arguing back and forth with somebody about, you know, like I said, sports, whatever. So in this podcast today, we're going to talk about the Kansas City Chiefs. And may I mind you, we're making this podcast around the time that the Chiefs went to the playoffs. They had a home game here against the Tennessee Titans. And I just want to give you a little bit of an overview of what we're talking about here with the Chiefs today. We're going to be talking about Matt Nagy, of course. I think he's the real reason the Chiefs lost this game at home. No points in the second half. Let me just start off by saying that. 0 points in the second half of a home playoff game. Okay? Let's just go on. We're going to be talking about Bob Sutton as well. Andy Reid. Tyreek Hill. Harrison Butt kicker missing a huge field goal down the stretch there. That 3 points could have been huge. Obviously, it was a 1 point game. And then also, we're going to be talking about Chiefs fans in general. I was sitting there. I was actually at the game, the playoff game, and Chiefs fans. You know, no offense, guys, but most of you guys don't know what you're talking about, with exception of some of my friends, Blake, Kendrick. Whoever else is a Chiefs fan, sorry if I didn't announce you in this, but some of the Chiefs fans don't even know what they're talking about. We're also going to be talking about drop passes blamed on Alex Smith. You know, that's part of the Chiefs fans we're talking about here. We're going to be talking about Alex Smith himself, Patrick Mahomes, some of the play calling. And then lastly, I want to talk about Arrowhead Stadium. Is Arrowhead Stadium really cursed or not? I think it's obvious to maybe talk about a curse at Arrowhead. How many playoff games here at home that you guys have lost? It's just unreal. And this last one, you know, losing by 1 point after being up by, what was it, 18 at half or more? I think it was 21-3 at half. So being up 18 points there at half and then losing at home is just really unacceptable. So, like I said, lastly, we're going to talk about Arrowhead being cursed. But first, I want to get to Matt Nagy. Let's first talk about Matt Nagy, give you a little rundown who he is. Dude's been running with Andy Reid since, what was it, 2007, 2008. He was an interim coach, and then he was assistant coach at Philadelphia. If I believe my sources or what I remember correctly, he was also the quarterback quality coach in Philadelphia, and then Andy brought him over to Kansas City in 2012, 2013, and then he proceeded to be the quarterback's coach there in Kansas City for Alex Smith. Obviously, you know, you can't argue with him being a quarterback's coach, the quarterback that he kind of turned Alex Smith into. And you know what, it wasn't just Matt Nagy turning Alex Smith into a good quarterback. I'm not going to say Alex Smith was an elite quarterback by any means, but a damn good quarterback, way better than he was in the Bay there in San Francisco. And then also in 2016, he became the offensive coordinator. And then 2016, 2017, he became the offensive coordinator. But he really wasn't the offensive coordinator. Andy Reid put that offense together. If you guys know anything about the Kansas City Chiefs, Andy Reid has his own offense. The guy is mind-blowing offensive-wise. Like, the guy comes up with the plays that you wouldn't even think an NFL team would try to run. And then he runs them. He runs them with success, and teams copycat it. So, obviously, NFL, talking about NFL here, copycat league. Andy Reid is just so good. But anyway, back to Matt Nagy. He really wasn't even the offensive coordinator in Kansas City. Andy Reid did all the offensive coordinating, came up with the playbook, called all the plays until here late in 2017, 2018. I think it was five games left in the season. Andy Reid was taking some heat by the fans, other people in the media, about his play calling style. You know, didn't think the offense was running very well, so he wanted to hand the playbook down to Matt Nagy. Yes, the Chiefs did go on a little bit of a run. I think they won the last three of their four with Matt Nagy calling plays. But let me just say this. The big thing about I have an issue with Matt Nagy is he's never really coordinated his own offense. Never really has. He's been a quarterback's coach. He's been an assistant coach to the quarterbacks. And now the Bears, the fucking Bears, want him to be a head coach. I like it from the standpoint that you have a good quarterback, Mitchell Trubisky. Great quarterback. If you guys know anything about college football, he tore it up 1 year at North Carolina. Excellent quarterback, I thought, in college. Haven't really seen him do much in the NFL. Obviously, he got his first start, what was it, 3-4 games into the season in Chicago after Matt Glennon couldn't really do anything. So I think Matt Nagy can be a really good quarterback's coach. As far as a head coach goes, I don't think he's really proved himself. And with that being said, proving yourself, you got to make a little bit of a run in the playoffs to be a head coach. You got to do something. So we're going to go back to this Kansas City Chiefs playoff game here. Like I said, at the beginning of the podcast, they were up 21-3 at half. The game was looking beautiful. You know, I was at the game with one of my buddy Kendrick, and, you know, going into halftime, I didn't think there was any way Kansas City was going to be able to lose that game. You're up 18 at half at home. You have, I'm not going to say an elite defense this year. You're missing Eric Berry, but you're at home. You're up 18 points. What else do I need to say? You're at home, up 18, and you lose. Okay, that falls on your offensive coordinator. Okay, your defense can make stops all day long, but if your offense can't give you a little bit of a lead, I mean, even 3 points would have helped. I mean, you couldn't even score 3 points the second half, Matt Nagy. So let's just go down some of the stats of the second half here, of what was going on in the second half of the game. Kareem Hunt, 11 carries. I think four of those came in the second half. Let me pull up the computer here and I'll keep talking. Four of those came in the second half. And then we want to blame most of the loss on Alex Smith. Okay, well, first of all, we didn't run the ball to take time off the clock. We didn't put the ball in one of your best players' hands, by far, Kareem Hunt. And when you did call Alex Smith's number, he made the throws, but we had so many drop passes. Tyreek Hill, I think he had 3 drop passes in the second half. And then your third string or second string tight end, Harris, I can't remember his name. I think his number was 84. Dropped a huge one on a third down to get a third down conversion. And you guys want to blame the loss on Alex Smith. Okay. Alex Smith's your quarterback. He can sling that ball all fucking day long. But if your wide receivers aren't going to make the passes that make the catches that you need on first, second, and third down, you're not going to win the game. So you guys can put the loss on Alex Smith all you want, but as I was sitting there watching the game, all the second and third down conversions that you needed to get to keep the you know, keep the clock going, keep the game rolling, maybe get into field goal range. Somebody besides Alex Smith always figured out a way to just shit it down their pants. Like I said, Tyreek Hill, what do you have? Two or three drop balls that second half, one big one on third down. And then, excuse me if I got this guy's name wrong, I think he's your third or second string tight end. Huge drop there on third down as well. So, as Chiefs fans, you guys can blame it on Alex Smith all you want, but when it really comes down to it, your receivers have to make the plays. I thought Alex had a great game. Like I said, I thought Alex Smith had a great game. Got some stats here for you. He was 23 of 33, 264 and two touchdowns, no interceptions. Okay, that's a great start. No turnovers, no fumbles, two touchdowns. Now let's go down to the one that sticks out to me the most. Arguably, I think, and I can make a very good argument of this, the best player on the Kansas City Chiefs offensive side of the ball is Kareem Hunt. The dude had 11 carries all game. 11 carries, 42 yards, a 3.8 yard average, and one touchdown. Okay, guys, I'm not a rocket scientist, but I know you need to run the ball a little bit more than that, especially in the playoffs. 11 carries, that just isn't going to cut it. I think 11 carries is absolutely unexcusable, especially for Kareem Hunt. 16 of those 42 yards, 16 of them came on one long run. Okay, so I know Kareem wasn't having the best day, and I know the Chiefs don't have the best offensive line, you know, in the game. But like I mentioned earlier, you're in the playoffs, man. You got to run the ball a little bit more, especially when you have a weapon like Kareem Hunt. You know, maybe don't even run it. Maybe you don't have to run it all the time, run it straight down their throat. Maybe throw a little screen route out to Kareem or something. I mean, you got to get the ball in Kareem Hunt's hands. I know most of Chiefs fans, every Chiefs game I go to, everybody's like, oh my God, Tyreek Hill. Yeah, you guys are absolutely right. Tyreek Hill, guy's a beast. But I think he's, how do I put this, one-dimensional? I think he's really one-dimensional. But anyway, you got to get the ball into Kareem Hunt's hands a little bit more. I think 11 carries in that playoff game was just absolutely unexcusable. That's part of Matt Nagy's terrible, terrible play calling. I don't even think I have to say much more. 11 carries, your best running back in the playoffs. You got to run the ball in the playoffs. Alex Smith had a great game. What was it? 262 yards, two touchdowns. Alex Smith can't do it all, and he proved that this season. When it came down to the line, or when it came down to it, Alex Smith was really hit or miss. Alex Smith had really good games, and then Alex Smith really fucked some games up for you. But he didn't mess this playoff game up for you guys. So I think Alex Smith had a really great game in the playoffs. It came down to Orson Charles dropping that huge third down and Tyreek Hill dropping one on that huge third down as well. So let's get back to Matt Nagy a little bit. I just don't think Matt Nagy is all that in a bag of chips. I just really don't. I mean, you're off. It's a playoff game. It's a fucking playoff game. You have to score. You really have to score. I mean, I know your defense let up 18 points, but let's say your defense let up 18 points and you called some plays to get your team down there to score a field goal. You guys won that fucking game. So I don't think Matt Nagy was really that good. I don't think he deserved that Bears head coaching job. Dude's never coordinated his own offense before. Like, I'll give it to him. Like I said earlier in the podcast, I think he did Alex Smith wonders. And, you know, it just wasn't Matt Nagy helping Alex Smith. Andy Reid was behind the scenes there helping him too. But, you know, Matt Nagy, just stay being a quarterback's coach. I think that's where it suits you best, because you obviously shit it down your pants there the second half of the playoffs. You didn't even play conservative or anything. I mean, if you were playing conservative, your running back would have had more than 11 carries. That's pretty unexcusable. All right, that's enough of Matt Nagy. I'm getting tired of talking about this guy because I think he's terrible. We're going to go to Bob Sutton, I know, because we're talking about blowing that 18-point lead. Bob Sutton, I think the name Bob Sutton is better than the coach Bob Sutton. Does that make sense? Like, when you hear Bob Sutton, you're like, damn, like, that's a good defensive coordinator. But now in this today's NFL, I don't think Bob Sutton is worth a goddamn. I think Bob Sutton has to go. Been blaming the loss on Matt Nagy. I solely blame the Chiefs' loss on Matt Nagy. I don't blame it on anybody else but Matt Nagy. You know, and I'm talking about that. Yeah, Bob Sutton's defense let up 18 points in the second half. Okay, well, if Matt Nagy would have scored 3 points, y'all would have fucking won, and we wouldn't have been having this conversation. Well, maybe I would have, you know, because I think Matt Nagy's trash. But anyway, Bob Sutton, your defense let up, you know, 18 points there in the second half. Let's just keep talking about Bob Sutton here. Derrick Henry in the second half had 114 rushing yards. That's kind of mind-blowing for a second half of a game. Yeah, one of them came on a really long run. Let's see what the length of the run was. It's a 35-yarder. Yeah, a 35-yard run. And that was in the second half, so that was a big play. So, and I know the Chiefs' defense, the run defense, has never been good. Every time you guys play Le'Veon Bell, the dude's almost has a 200-yard game on you guys. So Bob Sutton, I don't think he's really worth a shit anymore. And as you're having an 18-point lead, I think he played way too conservative. He never brought any blitzes or anything. He just sat back there and covered two all day. I remember watching a play. It was like 3rd and 12. Running cover two. Okay, cover two is great defense. You know what they're running. You need some verticals to go downfield. You need to protect outside the hashes. Cover two, that's great. But your defense just couldn't get it done. You sat back there in cover two, and they still pat you. The biggest thing about this conversation that I'm trying to have, the biggest point that I'm trying to make about this conversation is Bob Sutton knew what they were going to run. You know, you're down 18. You got to pass the ball. Okay, great. Derrick Henry had 114 yards the second half. Kind of took you off guard. You know, who's trying to run the ball that much in the second half when you're down by 18? But the biggest point I'm trying to make, Bob, you know what they're trying to do. You know where they're trying to bring the ball. You know that they're trying to pass heavily. And they still just tore you apart in the defense on the defensive end. So with that being said, I don't think I have to say much more. Bob Sutton, I think he's got to go. And if Andy Reid doesn't make that change here in the next couple weeks, like I said earlier, I'm making this podcast 2 days after the Super Bowl, or not Super Bowl, the playoff game, excuse me. So if Andy doesn't make this call soon about Bob Sutton, Bob Sutton's never going to go. He's going to be the Chiefs defensive coordinator next year. You guys are going to make it to the playoffs again, and Bob Sutton's defense is still going to suck all year round. You guys aren't going to be able to stop the run. And when teams need to pass on you, Bob Sutton's just going to sit back and cover two and just let them carve you guys apart. Let's see here. We already talked about Tyreek Hill. Drop passes, but I'm just going to talk about it again. I looked it up here. He had two drop passes. All of them were in the second half, and one of them was on a big third down. The second one, he was wide open on the sideline. Tried to catch it with his body and not your hands. You know, I'm not a rocket scientist, but I did play football for a little bit. And I was taught to catch with my hands, not my pads. Because if you catch with your pads, that fucking ball is going to bounce right off. So put your hands out, catch it with your hands next time, Tyreek. You didn't help your quarterback out at all, and your quarterback took the most heat after that game, in my opinion, and it should have been Matt Nagy. But Tyreek Hill did have 7 catches, 87 yards, so that's a pretty good stat line, not too bad of a stat line. He did have 1 catch for 45 yards. That's a big chunk of yardage out of the 87 that he had. But still, the whole point is you got to catch the ball. You got to make plays for your quarterback. And Tyreek Hill didn't do that when he needed to. And, you know, you think about Tyreek Hill too, explosive. The dude, I think, had 8 return yards on punting. eight return punt yards. You know, give credit to the Tennessee Titans special teams. I'm sure, you know, that was, you know, part of their game plan. That's part of everybody's game plan. Don't make sure you limit Tyreek Hill the ball. But Tyreek, you got to make the most of your opportunities, man. You got to get more than 8 yards on a punt return there. Get yourself into a little bit better position. Now I'd like to talk about, honestly, I'm going to go out and say this on a limb. I think one of my favorite, I know it's kind of stupid to say, but one of my favorite kickers in the game, just because his last name, Harrison Butker. We're going to call him Butt Kicker. When I was at the game, I saw a fan. They actually had a Harrison Butker jersey, but it was customized, and the name on it was Butt Kicker. So they legitimately made it Butt Kicker, which I thought was pretty badass. But anyway, Harrison Butker, I almost call him Butt Kicker. I thought Harrison Butt Kicker was a prime time kicker all season. Obviously, he came on as a rookie. The first game he played for you guys, he missed the first field goal. And everybody's like scratching their head like, damn, like we really brought this guy on and he just missed his first field goal. Dude didn't miss a field goal up until this playoff game. And then the next field goal he missed was, like I said, in that playoff game. And that's a huge 3 points. You know, I know the guy's a rookie, and that could have something to do with it. A lot of pressure being a rookie, hasn't been on that stage before. But you got to make the most of your opportunities, like I said about Tyreek Hill earlier. You got to make the most of your opportunities. He had 3 extra point attempts because the Chiefs did score 3 touchdowns. He was 3 for 3 on those PATs. 1 field goal, it doesn't show how far it was out, but 0 for 1. I think it was like a 30-yard field goal, just easy money all day, especially for Butt Kicker, just easy money all day. 0 for 1, and you guys end up losing by 1 point. That's what, I'm not even a Chiefs fan, I'm really not a Chiefs fan, but here living in Kansas City, I'm like a closet Chiefs fan. You got to root for your hometown, you got to show them some love. That's what pisses me off the most. You missed a field goal, and y'all lost by 1. But you can't blame it all on Harrison Butker. You just can't. You know, that 1 field goal, like I said, it is huge. Definitely changes the game. But I'm just going to keep going back to it. If that offense gets you in better position, maybe Harrison Butker would have been 1 for 2 on field goals, and you guys still could have won. You know, I'm just going to keep saying it all day. Matt Nagy had to do a better job of putting you guys in position to win. Yes, your defense didn't help you at all by blowing 18 points, but dude, your offense has to help you out a little bit. You can't just go out and score 21 points the first half and just take the second half off and just expect to win. That's not how the NFL works. All the teams are way too good. You can get beat any given day. So that's enough on Harrison Butker and his missed field goal. I want to talk about some Chiefs fans, you know. And it's not all Chiefs fans, just some of them, or most of them. Maybe it is all, I don't know. But there was this lady sitting behind me at the game. Well, first of all, let me say this. I didn't have a Chiefs jersey to wear to the game. I had an Eric Baer jersey, gifted it, because I never thought I was going to wear it. You know, I'm not a Chiefs fan, I'm an Oakland Raiders fan. So anyway, I have a Royals jersey, Salvador Perez. Me and Kendrick are tailgating. We go to tailgates, walking through the tailgate in my Kansas City Royals baseball shirt, or not shirt, it's a baseball jersey, limited edition, and some fucking asshole Chiefs fan gets on my ass about, hey, it's not baseball season yet, you gotta wait another 3 months, douche. And it's like, dude, I'm here to support the city whether or not I'm wearing a Chiefs jersey or not. It says Kansas City on the front. I'm here to support the city, and you're just that douchey Chiefs fan. So I just had to talk about a douchey Chiefs fan like that because we're talking about douchey Chiefs fans. But anyway, we're sitting at the game, me and Kendrick, and it was the first drop pass, Orson Charles on that 3rd down. This lady behind me was bitching about Alex Smith because Orson Charles legitimately had the pass in his hands and dropped it. She started calling for Patrick Mahomes. Okay, lady, that's great. Pat is going to be a stud. We're going to talk about that later. Pat is going to be a stud. But was that Alex Smith's fault? You want to call to bench Alex Smith for Patrick Mahomes because Orson Charles dropped that pass? Like, you have to be kidding me. How incompetent do you have to be? Like, obviously that I shouldn't be roasting this lady, but she didn't know anything about the game. If you're trying to down on Alex Smith for a drop pass that his receiver had to catch. So Chiefs fans, you know, you guys need to study the game a little bit more, actually know what you're talking about, because I thought it was sad. I thought it was sad rooting for the benching of your starting quarterback. Supposedly you're the, I don't know if this is what she would say, but supposedly you're the biggest Kansas City Chiefs fan ever, and you're rooting against your starting quarterback in the playoffs after one pass that the wide receiver dropped. So I thought that was pretty unacceptable. So I had to call that lady out. Yeah, here's more notes on my thing here. Drop passes blamed on Alex Smith. I think that's just ridiculous. I do want to talk about Alex Smith a little bit. My good buddy Kendrick Rowe thought at the beginning of the season Alex Smith was an elite quarterback. I just don't know what to say to that besides he's not. I really don't. Like, Alex Smith is good. Okay, he is. I think he's good. Elite? No. He had really good numbers at the beginning of the season, but you guys know Alex Smith as well as I do, maybe even better, because I'm not a Chiefs fan. I'm just here talking about the Chiefs just because, you know, I love sports and I like to talk about this stuff. But you guys know as well as I do, like I said, maybe even better, especially watching Kansas City sports, Alex Smith was bound to just fuck up. Like, he looked so good at the beginning of the year. Looked so good at the beginning of the year, and it kind of scared me, honestly, because if he's doing this now, you know he's just going to drop off. You know he's just going to drop off. Just because that's what Alex Smith does. He builds you up, and then he fucking tears you down. He's kind of been doing it his whole career. You can look back to the first year that Andy Reid was the coach. I think y'all went like 11-0, 12-0. And then Alex Smith just kind of pooped it down his leg, you know. But that's enough talking about Alex Smith being Alex Smith. I just want to give you guys some numbers, you know, some numbers of, you know, what he was able to do this year. 4,042 yards passing. That's pretty damn good. 269.5 yards a game. That's pretty damn good. 26 touchdowns, that's not bad. That's pretty good. Let's say Big Ben had 28. Alex Smith had 26. And out of all the starting quarterbacks in the league, Alex Smith had the least interceptions. He played 15 games, had 5 picks. Jimmy Garoppolo played 6 games, had 5 picks. Wow. I did not know that stat. That kind of just blew my mind. So yardage-wise, Alex Smith finished 8th out of, 32 starting quarterbacks in the league, 30 starting quarterbacks in the league. Had a QBR of 104.7. Oh, man, that's good. Completions percentage of 36.4. That's pretty good as well. Had the longest pass of the year, 79 yards. That's pretty good. He had 5 300-plus games, but this is a stat that I'm going to give you guys that kind of blows your mind. Alex Smith was sacked 35 times. You know who was after that? Kirk Cousins and Russell Wilson. You guys know as well as I do, Russell Wilson has to run for his life all day long so he doesn't get sacked. Russell Wilson was sacked 43 times. Alex Smith was sacked 35. So, that just kind of blows my mind. And Alex Smith had one fumble. So Alex Smith had 6 turnovers all year. All year long, 6 turnovers. That's phenomenal. And would Kareem Hunt have 1 or 2 fumbles? I think he had 1 fumble all year, and that was his first game. Just like Harrison Butker missed a kick in his first game. So I think Alex Smith is going to be a really good quarterback. I would like to see him stay with the Chiefs, but it's not going to happen. It's really not going to happen because you have Patrick Mahomes. I think Patrick Mahomes could have started this year and possibly put up the same numbers as Alex. Of course, you know, Patrick Mahomes isn't going to have 5 interceptions on the year. The dude's a rookie. He probably would have thrown 10 to 12. But you look at DeShone Kizer, I think that dude threw 23 picks. It's not going to be that bad. But Patrick Mahomes, man, I think that guy's going to be a stud. I really do. I think that's enough on Alex Smith. I just hope the best for him because, like I said, I don't think he's going to be a Chief after this year. I really don't. And he had, arguably the best season of his career as a Kansas City Chief, in large part of that due to, like I was just talking about, Patrick Mahomes coming up the helm, you know, trying to take over the spot. I mean, if that doesn't fuel you as a quarterback, I don't know what does. So, Alex Smith, honestly, man, I'm not a Kansas City Chief fan, but hats off to you. I think you had a great season, and I wish you the best wherever you go, because like I said, I really don't think you're going to be a Chief after this year, man. So now I think we're going to talk about arguably, well, not arguably, because you guys can't really argue this with me. My favorite player on the Kansas City Chiefs behind Eric Berry. I think I love Eric Berry. So we're going to talk about Patrick Mahomes. So talking about Pat Mahomes, the first thing that I want to say is the cannon that this guy possesses on his right arm is, I don't like to make this comparison to DeMarcus Russell just because DeMarcus Russell was such a big flop for my Oakland Raiders. But the cannon that this gentleman possesses on his right arm is unreal. Like, when I say cannon, it's like an actual cannon. Like, this motherfucker, I think, can throw the whole 100 yards of the field. 6'3", 230. Okay? And he's from Texas. Everything's bigger in Texas. You know all those boys down in Texas. They love baseball. I'm sure the dude, when he was playing baseball, I could probably look it up here, but I'm sure the dude, when he was playing baseball, could probably throw about 100 miles an hour. But we're not talking baseball, we're talking football, so I'll give you a little bit more rundown about Patrick Mahomes here. 2014, I'm going to give you some of his 2014 stats at Texas Tech. He only played 7 games at Texas Tech. I'll have to look into this a little bit. I don't know if he got hurt or if he came in for somebody else. But in 2014, he was a rookie, or a freshman, excuse me. Played 7 games. 105 completions. 185 attempted passes. Okay, so 56.8 completion percentage. You know, that's not good. That's not great as a quarterback. But as a freshman year in college, had 1,500 yards in 7 games. That's not great. That's really not great. Especially at Texas Tech in an air raid offense. But as a freshman year, guys, 8.4 yards attempt, 221 yards a game. 16 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. Wow. He was sacked 9 times, had a QBR of 151.2. Like I said, the completion percentage isn't great, but the QBR looks pretty good. But that's only in 7 games, so you can't, you know, talk that up too much. So now we're going to go to 2015 stats. 364 of 573, 63.5% completions percentage. Passed for 4,653 yards his sophomore year. 4,653 your sophomore year? That's unreal, boys. 8.1 yards attempt. Look at this yards per game. And it only goes up. It only goes up after the year. 357.9 yards per game. Okay, Texas Tech, do you guys know anything about college football? Do you guys know anything about the Big 12? It's all pretty much all air raid offense besides Iowa State and a couple other teams. They don't pass all day long. Texas Tech, you maybe run the ball like Matt Nagy does about 10 times a game. still taking shots at Matt Nagy here. So 357.9 yards a game, that's beautiful. Yards a game, that's beautiful. 36 touchdowns, 15 interceptions. 36 touchdowns, 15 interceptions? So obviously his interceptions went up a little bit from 4 to 15. His freshman to sophomore year, that's to be expected. Had the longest pass of the year, 90 yards. He probably threw that 90 yards. It was probably no yards after the catch. Knowing Patrick Mahomes, he probably slung that thing from the 10-yard line. He was sacked 27 times, so this is something to look at. He was sacked 27 times. I didn't watch Texas Tech much or at all, to be honest with you guys. But you don't know if you can blame that on his offensive line, or you don't know if you can blame those sacks on holding the ball too long, which is common in them, which is very common in a young quarterback. They want to hang the ball, they want to hold on to the ball too long and make plays, especially when you're a playmaker like Patrick Mahomes. You know you can hang on to that ball as long as you can, and your arm is going to bail you out. So that 27 sacks is something to look at as he comes in the league here. Let's go to the 2016 stats, because these stats kind of fucking blow my mind, honestly. I mean, this kid's just getting better and better each year, which, you know, you're supposed to do. But Sam Darnold hasn't done that. Josh Allen hasn't done that. Or Josh Rosen hasn't done that, excuse me. And I said Josh Allen for Wyoming. He hasn't done that either. And these are three quarterbacks that are supposed to come out in this year's draft, be first rounders, blah, blah, blah. I think Patrick Mahomes... is it going to be one of the best quarterbacks we've ever seen in this league? And I'm not going to say he's going to blow your mind like Tom Brady or anything like that. But as much as you guys know about this guy, which is probably nothing, you probably only know that he was selected in the first round, 10th overall by Kansas City, and they moved up quite a bit of spots to take him. It's because this guy is going to be fucking amazing. I am on the Patrick Mahomes the second bandwagon like none other fan. I'm not even a Chiefs fan, and I probably would suck this guy's dick. Anyway, let's go on to his 2016 stats here. He played 12 games, 388 completions, 591 attempted yards, 65.7 completion percentage, 49.3 attempts per game. So he's dropping back almost 50 times a game. Like I said, the air raid offense at Texas Tech is pretty much Matt Nagy. You only run the ball about 5 times. If you're dropping back 50 times a game. So, 2016 sets, I gave you all those. 65.7 completion percentage. That's really good. His freshman year, he was at 56.8. Okay? And he played 7 games. You know, when you don't play that many games, your averages are going to go up, obviously. The more games you play, they're going to go down. So, we dropped back 50 times a game. This guy passed for 5,052 yards. 421 yards a game is what this guy passed for. Are you kidding me? How is this guy not mentioned in the Heisman race? Sorry about that. I paused it. I had somebody call me. Sorry if you guys could hear that. Kind of lost track of where I was at here. Talk about Patrick Mahomes, though. 421 yards a game. How is this guy not mentioned as a Heisman, you know, in the Heisman race? Oh, that's what I was talking about, him in the Heisman race. 41 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. This guy's a junior in college. He's putting up stats like I have not seen. And, of course, we go back to Texas Tech, air raid offense. Of course, he's going to be dropping back 50 times a game. But 10 interceptions and you drop back that much? 41 touchdowns? Once again, he was sacked the same number of times, 27. You don't know if that's holding on the ball too long. You don't know what the offensive line looks like. But I'm going to go back to saying, when you have an arm talent of Patrick Mahomes, you know your arm's going to bail you out. So I kind of don't blame him for hanging on to the ball that long and taking 27 sacks. When he gets in the league and Andy Reid gets hold of him, Andy Reid's going to take care of that. Andy Reid's going to take care of that, obviously. And then we're going to go to his QBR, 157. That's pretty good. I'll just give you some rushing stats. Obviously, this dude isn't a running back. But he had his sophomore year in 2015, he had 456 yards rushing. That's pretty good. That is pretty good. And then in 2015, he also did receive one pass for 3 yards. So you know he can catch the ball. So I paused the stream here for a minute, or the podcast here for a minute. I was trying to look up some Patrick Mahomes baseball stats for you guys, but I really can't find any. He was drafted 34th overall. Excuse me. Yeah, 34th overall by the Detroit Tigers. So obviously the dude can fucking play baseball. And if he's a, you know, if he's a quarterback, you're going to think that obviously the dude played a pitcher. So if you're playing football and baseball, you got to be an athlete, which Patrick Mahomes is. So I'm so excited, you know, and I shouldn't be because I'm a Raiders fan, but I'm so excited for this Kansas City Chiefs organization to get a player like Patrick Mahomes. Like I said before, the guy literally possesses a full-blown cannon on his right arm. Two multi-sport athlete, so the dude's an athlete, you know. There's nothing more I can say about this guy. I gave you guys the stats. I told you what I thought of him. Just remember the name Patrick Mahomes, especially with Andy Reid. Andy Reid is the quarterback whisperer. He will change this kid, and I don't know if you necessarily need to change the kid besides the sacks that he's taking, but and the interceptions, you know, the interceptions were kind of high his sophomore year at 15, but he was so young. He's so young. Andy Reid's a quarterback whisperer. He's going to make this kid unbelievable. As long as Andy Reid is a Chief and as long as Patrick Mahomes is a Chief, Kansas City will be in the postseason. As long as the team can stay healthy and you guys can shore up that front four, because that defensive front four is just awful. I don't think you guys should have got rid of Dontari Poe, but that's a different conversation for a different time. Not really, because we're talking about the Chiefs, but whatever. And lastly here, I'm going to talk about Arrowhead Stadium being cursed, just because, like I said, it's got to be. It's really got to be cursed. You know, if blowing an 18-point lead at home doesn't make you think it's cursed, then Marcus Mariota tipping a pass to himself and catching a touchdown, throwing a touchdown to himself pretty much at Arrowhead Stadium, you know, that just says it's cursed. So I'm going to give you a little history of Arrowhead Stadium. Most of you guys are not going to care. I don't care if you don't listen or not. But the stadium opened in 1972, obviously to present day today. It used to be AstroTurf until 93, which I thought was interesting. But I guess turf is too much upkeep for everybody. So, yeah. Now they're just playing on regular grass. And I was a pest control technician for a little bit, and Arrowhead Stadium did have a little bit of a mole problem that I would have to go out there and take care of. But that's neither here nor there. I just wanted to kind of brag that I was at Arrowhead a few times doing some maintenance on the field. As a pest control technician, I was winning. The regular season, I mean, Arrowhead Stadium regular season stats, honestly, guys, aren't that bad. They have a winning record, 208-147 and one tie. But this is where it gets really disturbing, the playoff stats and the playoff wins. This kind of makes me sick, honestly. 2-6. I mean, you guys are at home, and I'm going to say, I don't want to say it, but the Chiefs fans, as douchey as you guys are, and not all of you guys, excluding Kendrick and Blake, I don't know who else, but as douchey as you guys are, you guys have a great fan base. Every game I go to, the stadium is loud as fuck. Everybody shows up. You guys might not know what you're talking about most of the time, but everybody shows up, wants to root on the home team. So you guys have a great atmosphere, great stadium. You guys just can't go 2-6 at home. I think the stadium has to be torn down. It's fucking cursed. First playoff game in Arrowhead Stadium, Sunday, September 17th, 1972. You guys lost to the Miami Dolphins 20-10. Okay, that's not good. And then the most recent one is the Tennessee Titans lost 22-21. Guys, this stadium is cursed. This stadium is so cursed. You guys have been there. I'll have to look it up. 4 years in a row? So not 4 years in a row. You guys haven't had four playoff games at home in a row. But you guys have had two. And the games have been close. The last 2 years in the postseason, the games have been decided by two or less points. We're going to go back to 2016, Sunday, January 15th versus Pittsburgh. I know you guys aren't going to forget about that game because you just can't. It was a low-scoring game, 18-16. Le'Veon ran all over you guys. Travis Kelce only had 77 yards receiving, and once again, in the playoffs, your running back had 35 yards rushing. Jamaal Charles was hurt, of course. where was your running back? Alex Smith, 172 yards passing. So another loss at home in 2016 against obviously a very good Pittsburgh team. And like I said, I keep hating to talk about this most recent loss, a postseason loss for Kansas City. But a 22-21 loss, you know, I'll say it again, guys. I'm not a Kansas City fan, but this breaks my fucking heart. Just being a sports fan, you're at home and you lose after an 18-point lead at halftime. I just think the reason why I'm having this conversation and the point that I want to make is I honestly think Arrowhead is cursed. You know, and I didn't just get this idea off the top of my head, you know, thinking I'm not taking the credit for the one that's saying Arrowhead is cursed. It's been going on around now for a couple of years. But what intrigues me the most and the reason why I want to bring it up is because after this last postseason loss against the Titans 22-21 and the Mariota pass to himself touchdown, I honestly think Arrowhead Stadium is cursed for any postseason hope. In 2015, you guys went on to play the Houston Texans in Texas, and you guys beat them. And then you guys go on to play New England the next round, and you guys only lose by 3. Like I said, the point I'm trying to make is after everything that's happened in the postseason and the Mariota touchdown to himself and the 18-point loss at home, and the superstitious type of person I am, I honestly think that Arrowhead Stadium is cursed. I really do. I think the stadium needs to be torn down and build something new. Obviously, the stadium's had renovations over the last couple years, or in the last 8 to 10 years, I should say. But the stadium isn't that great. You guys kind of need a new stadium anyway. And I'm not saying my Raiders Oakland Coliseum is the best stadium in the world, because it's probably the worst. But after all the bad vibes and everything bad that's happened in that stadium, I think it's just time for it to be gone. And it kind of sucks, because if you guys do get a new stadium with me living in Kansas City, I'll be a taxpayer and I'll have to pay for that fucker. So that kind of sucks. But just tear it down. It's cursed. All right, guys, this is going to conclude the first podcast. I mean, I covered a lot of stuff, honestly. The only thing that I didn't cover is Andy Reid. It's pretty much because I was going to cover Andy Reid, I'm not going to lie, but Andy Reid is self-explanatory. One of the best head coach in the NFL. Like I said earlier in the podcast, the guy on the offensive side of the ball is just mind-blowing. He really is. And the way he can take Alex Smith and the way he can make Alex Smith look good is just a plus for any franchise. I mean, I think Andy Reid really is, like I said, if not the best head coach in the NFL. And he doesn't have a ring yet. I want to see him get a ring. Maybe we'll have more talks about Andy Reid later, but this podcast is already getting pretty long. It's almost an hour in, and most of the listeners don't want to listen to something that long. So if you guys did tune in, I'd really do appreciate it. Give me some feedback. Let me know how it goes, good or bad feedback. Like I said in the beginning of the podcast, I just wanted to do something like this because it's kind of out of the box. And it gives you a platform to, you know, talk about sports that you couldn't talk, you couldn't talk on Twitter or Facebook. So if anybody wants to come on here and talk some sports with me or anything like that, you know, I would honestly love it. It would honestly be a good time. We could put something together. We could talk for an hour, a couple hours, 45 minutes, whatever it may be. But I just want to say thank you guys for listening to me ramble for a little bit. Hopefully you guys enjoyed it. Give me some feedback. Let me know. You guys have a good day.